For Christians, no week of the year can be as profoundly real as the one that we begin today. And at the same time, no week can be as superficial and even as trivial as this one. The gospel narratives that we have heard this morning can easily become historical fiction, a drama that happened to someone else, somewhere else, a long time ago. It is also easy, even and perhaps especially for clergy, to focus on the external elements of Holy Week. Many will leave this church in a week's time on the other side of Triduum, focused on whether the fire took as it should at the Easter Vigil, whether the Jesuits made it through it without incinerating our vestments or the church, or whether Father went on just a bit too long after those lengthy readings. And yes, some tart remarks may even be traded about the difficulty of getting a seat, even though we're here every week. We are inventive at finding ways of buffering ourselves from the inner spiritual realities of Holy Week. In his spiritual exercises, St. Ignatius Loyola identifies these as sorrow, anguish, tears, affliction, and also gladness and rejoicing. It can seem attractive to take ourselves off this kind of emotional roller coaster before it even leaves the station in the first place. We want especially to avoid the more unpleasant emotions of Holy Week. But its mystery is that it is only by passing through them that we arrive at joy, at fullness of life, indeed at resurrection. In his essays on Holy Week, the scripture scholar Raymond Brown suggests that one way these days become real is by asking ourselves where we would have stood in relation to the trial and crucifixion of Jesus. With which character in the narratives would I identify myself? Of Palm Sunday, for example, he says that the distribution of palm in church may too quickly assure me that I would have been among the crowd that hailed Jesus appreciatively. Is it not more likely, he asks, that I might have been among the disciples who fled from danger, abandoning him? Or at moments in my life, have I not played the role of Peter, denying him? Or even Judas, betraying him? Have I not found myself like Pilate, trying to avoid a decision between good and evil? Or again, like Pilate, have I made a decision, a bad decision, and then washed my hands so that the record could show that I was blameless? Recently, I learned of a series of paintings by the French artist Jacques Tissot held at the Brooklyn Museum. Some of you may be familiar with them. After an intense spiritual experience in Paris, Tissot left France for the Holy Land, and he produced 350 paintings, setting scenes from the life of Christ in their realistic surroundings. One of them stopped me cold, and it's haunted me since. In it, Tissot imagines the view that Jesus himself had from the cross. We cannot see him. The painting is the best known and perhaps the first work of art to adopt that jarring reversal of perspective. Jesus sees his mother and the few disciples who did not desert him. He sees the Roman soldiers seemingly bored, just doing their jobs. He sees the religious authorities eager for the threat that he represents to be snuffed out. And mostly, he sees passersby, spectators, unwilling to come too close, yet unable to turn away. And at the center of it all, he sees his own tomb. Where does he see you? For that matter, where does he see me? This is our story, and it is still unfolding. How will we let it become real to us and for us this week?